2 Kings chapter number 6. It'll take me just a little while to get there. If you're keeping notes with me, it's going to be hard to do so, okay? I have three series typically going on at any given moment. I try to be preaching through an Old Testament book, and I'm praying about the next book that the Lord would have us to begin in the Old Testament, since we just finished the book of Ecclesiastes. I have a New Testament book study going, and that's the book of Acts that we've been studying together. And I try to have a topical series going on. And the topical series that I've been preaching on for several weeks now is sound doctrine. In other words, just walking through the Word of God with different doctrines of the Bible. And we're preaching on a certain doctrine right now that I believe may have some interest up to you. I cannot tell you what part this is. I do not know. But I'm continuing my study on the doctrine of angels. I do not think I've preached on this on Sunday morning. I may have, but my memory's failing me if that's the case. It's typically Sunday night or Wednesday night. But the Lord has brought me this morning to this one thought about the study of angels. Now keep in mind, before I pray with you and we begin our study and continue our study this morning, that the purpose of angels is the same purpose you and I have, and that's to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. So everything we say about them is not to uplift them, but uplift God through them, if you understand. So what we talk about today is not what they do for us, really. It's what God uses them to do for us, if you understand the difference there. So let me pray with you as I begin and continue with this thought on the study of the doctrine of angels. Let's pray together. Father, would you help me today, I pray. And may your will be done, I ask. May you be pleased and praised with everything that's said and everything that's done, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. In our study through this doctrine, I encourage you to go back and get what you've missed. And also, I remind you that my type notes that I preach from, they're available to you. If you'd like to have them, just let me know. I'll be happy to give you a copy of them. There's no doubt about that. As a matter of fact, I think it's Dr. Clarence Sexton says, don't preach to be heard, preach to be repeated. And the fact of the matter is I hope you just don't hear this and say, well, that was okay, and forget it. God wants you to take truth and give it to somebody else. So I want to make all of my sermons available to you. You say, I don't like it the first time. Why would I want it the second time, you know? But if you do want it, it's always available to you. I just like to remind you of that every now and then. There's several things we've already studied about angels. We've talked about their purpose, and we're currently right now talking about their ministry. There's two major things that we're looking at there, and I'm just going to tap this on the head. But first of all, they have a ministry to God. And I've already preached on that. So today we're beginning with the second thing. And that is their ministry, not only to God, that's number one, but today we begin this. We begin to study their ministry to God's children. If you're saved today, the angels exist to take care of you. That right there is almost enough to get saved for. Do you know that? And we're going to look at this together today. Their ministry to God's children. You know, along with having a wonderful ministry to God, angels have been created to have a wonderful ministry to and for God's children. Hebrews 1:14 says it this way, and they here are angels, the angels, and angels, they are not all ministering spirits. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Angels are here to serve and help us as God's children. One man put it this way, the Bible never records an angel's ministering to an unbeliever. They are to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. And only heaven will reveal the multitudes of instances that angels protected and assisted us in our earthly walk. Now today I want to give you one of these. I do not want to try to get any further than that, but I don't want to get your hopes up and tell you you're going to get out early today because you know me better than that, right? The first thing we notice about angels' ministry to God's children, number one, the first thing we see they do is they protect and deliver us. Now, you're in 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to give you three Bible examples of this. We're going to read some scripture today. I hope you don't mind that. If you do, that's a heart problem, no doubt about that. By the way, the Word of God's why we're here. And we're preaching and teaching the Bible. And so we want to go to the Word of God and get what we believe from the Word of God. And we see that angels exist to protect and to deliver God's children. The first we want to look at is in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's the story of Elisha being surrounded by the Syrian army. And we'll pick up our reading in verse number 8 of 2 Kings chapter 6. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. In other words, Elisha is telling the king of Israel what the Syrian army is saying in secret. Verse number 10. The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, he thought there was a traitor in his own camp. Verse 12. One of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. So they've surrounded the city where Elisha is. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, look at this. What are we going to do about all this? Verse 16. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Verse 17, notice it. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Let me ask you a question. Who are those people? Who is that in those mountains that's more that be with them than that be with the enemy? There's no doubt that's the host of heaven. That's the angels of God. We see them, in other words, protecting and delivering Elisha when he was surrounded by the Syrian army. And right here where it says that it was a great host in verse 14, that word great means a heavy host. In other words, there were multitudes of this army that had come and surrounded the city. But God surrounded his man, his child, with his angels, and they protected and delivered Elisha during this time. Another Bible example would be in the book of Daniel, if you'll turn there with me. In the book of Daniel, chapter number 6, we're going to read quite a bit of scripture here in Daniel chapter 6, beginning with verse number 4. This is the story of Daniel being thrown into the lion's den, and I want to read the Bible account here in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 4 and following. Daniel chapter number 6, verse 4 and following. I'd like for you to get there. If you're sitting with somebody who does not have a Bible or anything like that, I want you to share your Bible with them. I want them to see what the Bible is saying here. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible puts it this way. It says, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we should not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. By the way, let me pause there and say this. This is getting off track here. But I wonder if the only thing the enemy has against you is what you're doing for God. Because that's exactly what they're saying. In other words, there's no way we're going to trip him up unless we just can find something with what he's doing with his God. Verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he should be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Can I paraphrase this? They are saying, King, would you put your seal of approval on this that nobody prays to any God other than you for these amount of days? They knew that Daniel was a man of prayer. And it's interesting that this verse says that he opened his windows. He wasn't keeping it quiet. He opened his windows. He got down on his knees and prayed and talked to God just like he did every other time. Verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. And the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords. The purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Notice verse 22 now. My God has sent his what? My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, commanded that they should take up Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. We see that angels protected Elisha from the surrounding of the Syrian army. We see God sends an angel to protect Daniel in the lion's den and shut the lion's mouths. Then we turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 12. This will be the final passage I'll have you turn with me to. In Acts chapter 12, this is a story of Peter in prison. And while Peter's in prison being put there by Herod, you know the story, he's asleep. We come to Acts chapter 12 and verse number 1 and following. The Bible says, by the way, isn't it good just every now and then just to open the Word of God and read? I mean, we're just reading the Bible here. Just let the Bible speak. That's what these passages are all about. Instead of me paraphrasing them, let's just read them. Why paraphrase? I mean, I do that sometimes, but why not just let the Lord speak here? In Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Verse 4. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did, and he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. When Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." There it is again. Now keep in mind, as you think about Elisha being protected from the Syrian army, and you think about Daniel being protected by the mouths of the hungry lions, somebody says, "Well, that's the problem. The lions weren't hungry." Well, you read on in Daniel chapter 6, and you'll find out that when he threw the evil servants in, that the lions didn't even let their bodies hit the ground first. They were hungry. They were hungry lions, but the angel was sent into that den that night and said, "Shut your mouth, boys. You're not eating this one right here." And you think about Daniel being saved from the lion's den, and you think about Elisha being saved from the Syrian army, and then you think about this story of Herod putting Peter in prison and getting ready to call him out because he knows that doing this to these Christians is earning him favor, so to speak, with the people, if you want to put it that way. But that night, God sends an angel, and an angel wakes him up and tells him to put his shoes on and takes him out and delivers him, until the point where Peter says, "God hath delivered." Don't ever forget that. He didn't say, "The angel delivered me." He said, "God delivered me." Don't miss this as we talk about the angel's ministry to God's children. It's not really what the angels do. It's what God uses the angels to do. This is not the angel's protection. It's God's protection. This is not the angel's deliverance. It's God's deliverance. But he has myriads of angels that he can send and take care of us at any given moment. And folks, this is something to think about. This is something to be comforted about. This is something to find rest in. You know, there's a lot of things in this world that call out to make you afraid. There's a lot of things going on in our country and around the world that if you're not careful, you just start to begin to be fearful and afraid and wonder what's going to be next and all of this. I've got good news for us. I know it's not always going to be good news, and I know that we're all going to die and meet the Lord unless the Lord comes back. I know it's not always going to be great. I get that. I know all of us have a time, but get this. We have a God-set time. And the fact is, nothing will touch us unless God says it can. And sometimes he can use his angels, not all the time, but sometimes he can use his angels to protect and to deliver. There's stories I want to tell you here. These Bible stories, they do not trump those. Those are the real stories. But I want to give you some other stories just to encourage you. Because you know what people remember? Illustrations. Those are Bible illustrations I gave you. Elisha being surrounded by a Syrian army, and God protects him by surrounding him with his myriad of angels. Daniel being cast into the lion's den, and God sending an angel and shutting the mouths of the lions. Peter being locked up in prison by Herod, and God sends an angel and wakes him up and just takes him right through all those locked up places and delivers him. I found a story here. The Reverend John Patton, a missionary in the New Hebrides Islands, years ago obviously, told a thrilling story involving the protective care of angels. There were hostile natives that came to his home, his headquarters, his mission headquarters one night, and these hostile natives that came there, they had one intent. They were going to burn his house down and kill him. That was their purpose. There were only two people there that night. It was John Patton and his wife. That was it. They prayed all during that terror-filled night that God would deliver them. God, would you deliver us? Would you deliver us? I'm glad I wasn't there, but I kind of wonder what their prayer life was that night. Probably pretty intense, wouldn't you think? When daylight came, they were amazed to see the attackers unaccountably leave. They just started leaving. They thanked God for delivering them. A year went by. And the chief of that tribe who was there that night to kill them was converted to Jesus Christ. He got saved. And Mr. Patton, remembering this time a year ago, he asked the chief, he said, "What kept you and your men from burning down the house and killing us?" And here's what the chief said. He said, and I quote, "Who are all those men you had with you there?" The missionary answered, "There were no men there, it was just my wife and I." The chief argued that they had seen many men standing guard, hundreds of big men in shining garments and drawn swords in their hands. They seemed to circle the mission station so that the natives were afraid to attack. And only then did Mr. Patton realize that God that night sent his angels to protect them. And the chief agreed that there was no other explanation. If only we could open our eyes and God let us see what happens, folks. The same thing could have happened to you this week. He could have kept you, an angel could have kept you from having a wreck, from other things. I'm telling you, relax. God can do anything He wants to. And He uses His angels to protect us, deliver us. And anytime He wants to, He can let other people see them. There they are. Don't you see them? Those natives, heathen, coming in on John Patton and his wife, knowing that they want them dead. They're going to burn the house down around them. They're going to kill them. And they leave. The Pattons didn't see a thing. They were just praying inside. They didn't see this. But the chief did. Those natives did. How else do you explain hundreds of big men in shining garments with swords drawn, and those people who were frightened, no doubt about it, inside that they were going to be attacked? The attackers were frightened that if they went, they would be attacked. Our lives are in God's hands. Trust. Relax. Rest. Be at peace. A modern yet similar story is told by Doug Connolly in his book, Angels Around Us. In the early 1950s, a missionary group in Kenya learned of an imminent attack on their mission by the Mau Mau warriors. To defend their families as well as they could, the men put up a barbed wire barricade and turned on the few floodlights that they had. With what few weapons they had, they stood guard along the mission's perimeter while their wives and children prayed inside. By the way, you see how prayer is part of this? They prayed inside. They waited because they heard about this imminent attack, but no attack came. Months later, a converted Mau Mau tribesman, the ones who were going to come and attack that mission, explained that just as he and his fellow warriors prepared to attack the mission from all sides, are you listening? There were large fiery figures appeared from out of the night. And he said these large fiery figures stood between the Mau Mau and the missionaries, racing in a circle around the barricade. Frightened by the sight of these creatures, the Mau Mau fled. See, the missionaries may not have seen them, but God opened the warriors' eyes to what normally would have been invisible. They did everything they knew to do. They couldn't flee. They knew that. So they just built a barricade. They began to pray. And God sent His angels to do a holy merry-go-round. Fiery figures going all the way around that barricade like this and scared the Mau Mau tribesmen away. One of the most popular angel stories of this century happened if you will, in a gruesome Nazi prison camp in the Second World War. As told by Corrie ten Boom in what's called A Prisoner and Yet. She and her sister Betsy had just arrived at Ravensbrück, where new prisoners were being searched. Corrie was hiding a Bible under her dress. And she said this, and I quote, she said, "It did bulge out obviously through my dress. But I prayed, Lord, cause thine angels to surround me and let them not and let them not be transparent today, for the angels, for the guards must not see me." In other words, she's asking, while she's in that line, "Would you surround me with your angels to the point that these guards don't see me at all?" She said, "I felt perfectly at ease. Calmly, I passed the guards. Everyone was checked from the front to the sides to the back." In other words, they checked them in the front, the sides, the back. Everybody was checked. "Not a bulge escaped the eyes of the guard. The woman just in front of me had a hidden woolen vest under her dress. It was taken from her." She said, "They let me pass. They didn't see me. Betsy, right beside me, was searched. Her sister was searched. But she wasn't. Outside awaited another danger," she said. "On each side of the door were women who looked everyone over for a second time. They felt over the body of each one who passed." And she said, "I knew they would not see me, for the angels were still surrounding me." I don't know how she knew that, but she just knew it. "I was not even surprised when they passed right by me. But within me rose the jubilant cry," and I quote, "O Lord, if thou dost so answer prayer, I can face even Ravensbrück unafraid." What's the point in all this? The point is, I'm trying to encourage you today. The point is, I'm trying to leave here and saying, whew, glory to God. The point is, we are safe and secure in the protecting hands of our great God, who can send His angels to protect and deliver us. The Bible puts it this way in Psalm 9, verses 9 through 11. The Bible puts it this way, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 7, He says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." The fact of the matter is, friends, is we are safe in the arms of Almighty God. See, our God is a warrior. Did you know that? You know, when you think of God, I know a lot of people like to think he's a God of peace, and he's a God of love, and he's a God of mercy and a God of grace, and amen to all of that. Amen to all of it. But did you understand that one thing the Bible tells us that God is that he is a man of war? Did you know that? Exodus 15:3 says, "The Lord is a man of war." He's a warrior. God is a warrior. You know what I'm telling you that for? It's because he wins every battle he fights. And because of that, the angels also never lose either. Now, if the thought of a warrior God and warrior angels is disturbing, if you'd rather think of peace, then remember that your peace is possible only because of the powerful protection, both by angels and through the Holy Ghost of God, that shields you from Satan and his wicked host. See, folks, battle is being waged on your behalf. And if it wasn't, just how long? Now think, if God was not a warrior and his angels were not warriors and they did not take care of us, be honest now, how long do you think you could withstand the devil's attacks?
Not a half a minute. Maybe not even a half a second. And let me say this to you. We're not safe and secure and here and have the peace of God because the devil just has nothing better to do. I'm going to tell you why you're safe today, why you're secure today, why you're protected today, why you're delivered today. Because your God is a warrior. And his angels are his warriors that carries out his wrath. And I'm going to tell you what's happening. If it wasn't for his warriorship and his ability and his power and his angels that he sends, you and I would inevitably, be conquered. And let me ask you a question. How much mercy, honestly, how much mercy could we honestly expect from our enemy? How much mercy would the devil have on you? How much mercy would the devil have on me? How much mercy would he have on my family, my children, my marriage, my wife? How much mercy would he have on this church? Don't you think he wants this church to crumble? Sure he does. Why has it not? I'll tell you why. Because God is here. That's why. And he's a warrior God. And he takes care of his children. And he protects and he guides. I want to thank God today. Maybe you didn't think this would ever come. I want to thank God today that he's a warrior. Amen. I'm glad he is my warrior. You know what that tells me? I'm going to be just fine. So are you. And I said all that. I've already said this throughout here, but I'm going to say it again. I said all of that today to say this. Rest. Relax. Trust. Because your God has many ways he can protect you. And only one of the ways he has is he can send his mighty angels to surround your house, barricade your family, scare off the enemy. And this is one of the ways he can do it. Thank God for the angels today, friends. I'm talking about the holy angels. I'm talking about the ones who are right with God, the ones who didn't turn their back on God. We'll study them later. The holy angels. And today I hope you leave this service encouraged. You know, sometimes you come to church and you're convicted, and that's a good thing. Sometimes you come to church and you're challenged, and that's a good thing. Every now and then you ought to come to church and be encouraged. That's the message today. I, as your pastor, am trying to encourage you that you're not in some terrorist hands. You're not in the United States of America's hands. You're not in some foreign country's hands. You're not in the hands of a doctor. You're not in the hands of these other folks. You're in the hands, if you're saved, of Almighty God. And you are safe. You are protected. You are delivered. And wouldn't it be great when we get to heaven? I don't know if he'll do this or not, but wouldn't it be great if he lets us kind of look back on, see how I protected you there? See what I did there? See what I did there? See what I did there? See, the interesting thing is this. If John Patton hadn't have asked that chief, he wouldn't have known. See? If these folks who were going to be attacked by the Mau Mau, if they didn't ask that one that was converted, they wouldn't know. God didn't let them see. But he let them see. Thank God. We can rest. Some of you come in this auditorium today, and you're worried about everything. I'll be honest with you. One of my strongholds is worry. That's me just being real with you. I worry. It's wrong. It's not right. I ask God to forgive me, and he helps me with it. That may be a stronghold in your life. Walk in and worry about everything. I call it the what-if syndrome. What if that happens? And what if that happens? And what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if this happens? And this message right here ought to just cause us just to say, everything's okay, isn't it? Are you with me today? Some of you need that. Rest in it. Trust God in it. And I don't think there's anything wrong. As long as you don't let the angels take the place of God, I don't think there's anything wrong with praying and saying, Lord, I trust you to protect me. And I'm going to ask you, if it's your will, send your angels around. What's wrong with it? Because as long as you're not trusting the angels, you're trusting God, nothing wrong with that at all. And let's trust the Lord to take care of us. We're safe all the way until we see Jesus. It's a great thought, isn't it? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, would you help us today? Help us to understand these thoughts, believe these thoughts, apply them to our hearts and lives. To rest in the fact that we are safe and secure in your protection. And if you so choose, you can use your angels to protect us. Guide us by your Spirit. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As they get ready, they're going to begin to play through softly. The key thought today, don't miss it, is that angels have a ministry to God's children. The key phrase, God's children. If you're not a child of God, you don't have the protection of the angels. God can do anything he wants to do, I know that, but he's promised them to us. They're ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation, those who are saved. So obviously, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, that's what you need. You need to be saved. You need to trust Christ. You need to invite the Lord into your heart to take away your sin and become a child of God. And if that's you today, that if you die just like you are, you do not have assurance that heaven is your home. You're not a Christian, or maybe you're just doubting that. You're just not positive about it. I want you to come. Let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you to point you to Jesus. You'll be glad you did. We'll have a man with a man, a lady with a lady, and when we extend the invitation, I want you to come. Obey the Lord and come now and trust the Lord as your Savior when we open the invitation. But here's the thought for Christians today. Be honest. How many today say, Pastor, what you preach today is what I needed? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? You say, it's what I needed. I needed this. This has helped me today. Amen. You can put your hands down. If you raised your hand to that, you don't have to come forward for this, unless the Lord wants you to. But at least there in your seat, you ought to breathe a prayer of thanksgiving. And thank God for helping you today, for speaking to you today. And today say, Pastor Jody, I didn't raise my hand saying I need that today, but I'll be honest with you, God spoke to my heart today. Would you raise your hand? God spoke to my heart. Yes. You ought to thank God for it. No doubt about it. May the Lord's will be done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together, please, shall we? Father, would you take this and use it? Would you challenge us with your word and help us to rest in the truth of it? May your will be done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to begin to sing. And if the Lord wants you to come, I want you to come. As a matter of fact, let me ask this question. How many of you know that God has protected you in a divine way? It was obvious that he's protected you. Maybe there's something that happened in your past, or maybe you can think of something right now that the Holy Ghost has his finger on it and says, you know what, that could have been really worse, but God took care of you. Have you had something like that? Would you raise your hand? You got something like that? Amen. Here's what I'm saying. You can put your hands down. Matter of fact, if all of you look at me for just a moment, because an overwhelming majority of you raised your hand to that.
I'm not saying that all of that was angels. I bet some of it was. But I will say this, it was all God, whether he used angels or not. And that's enough to say, thank you, Lord. And if you use an angel, thank you, God. And would you tell that angel, thank you? You know, I wonder if the Lord calls an angel and says, boy, you did a good job. Thank you, God. God, make me bless you there. You know what I mean? I don't know. We're going to see them someday. They've been busy, haven't they? Taking care of us. Let's let the Lord have his way. Thank God for his goodness. So if you'll bow your head, close your eyes. Brother Daniel, just begin to sing. Some of you just need to come and thank the Lord for his protection. Whatever it is, as Daniel sings, you come now, would you please?
Far away in the depths of my spirit,
if the Lord wants you to come, come on.
Rose a melody sweeter than song. In celestial like strains it unceasingly falls. For my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love, what a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in my heart of my soul. So secure that no power can take it away, while the years of eternity roll. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love.
You can look this way. This is Rick and Renee McConnell, and also Heath, precious family. Been coming for a little while now. They've prayed about it. They know the Lord. They've trusted Christ. They've been baptized in a church of like faith. They've had the bylaws. They've read them. They've signed here, agreeing to those. And they believe that it is the will of God for them to join our church by statement. And it's always good to have people coming to join us, no doubt about that. And what's the pleasure of the church that we accept them by statement into our membership? If I could do that, Brother Joe, Brother Stephen Gallion, all in favor who are members, say aye. Raise your hand high. So carry. God bless you. It's official. And you know what's coming, right? Donuts to the pastor. All of that's good. I'm kidding with you on that. Welcome to the membership of this church. We are honored to have you here. I want you to know that. If you're glad they're here, say amen. They're glad you're here. Isn't that good? I'm going to ask you just to stay right there, if you wouldn't mind. And many of you folks, as we dismiss, if you'll come this way, we've got a special gift for you and all of that. If you'll come this way to welcome them into the membership, that'll be a good thing. Okay? Let's pray together. Again, I remind you of some things. If you're a guest and you've got your card, if you'll take it out to the Welcome Center, get your free gift. Tonight at 5:30, the Get Acquainted meeting, if you'd like to come be part of that, in the Berean classroom, the blue room right down the hallway. Soul winning enlistment tonight. Don't let that scare you off. You don't have to sign up for it. But I hope you'll come listen to it, at least see what it's about. We're asking God to touch that in a great way. Okay? Very good. Brother Barney Bear, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please.